Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I think one of my favorite parts of Rally Day is the excitement of a new, fresh start. After a long, perhaps too long, summer hiatus, everything is starting up again. Pastor Hugerheide will be starting his home Bible study this week, looking at the readings for the upcoming Sundays, which I especially enjoy while preparing my sermons. Tuesday, Wednesday, we are jumping back into the Lifelight Bible study and starting the long-anticipated study of Job. And it will be good to get back into Lifelight, delving more deeply into a single book or a single section of the Bible for each 9-week course. Tuesday, we also start confirmation class for those returning confirmands and for those who are going to be starting. We are going to focus our attention on Luther's Small Catechism and what we believe as Lutherans. But I think the part that's most exciting, at least for today, is our Sunday school year beginning today, and with it, the Youth Sunday Morning Bible Study. Our prayer is that God will continue to bless all of these students who learn, both young and old, as well as all of the teachers who will be teaching for all of these Bible studies and classes. So it's with that in mind that we turn our attention to the gospel reading today, specifically the first section of our gospel reading. There are three different sections in the gospel reading, each of which could be a full sermon itself, plus the Old Testament and Epistle, but we're just going to focus on that first part of the gospel reading where Jesus teaches his disciples, his students, an important lesson. A lesson that we would all do well to take to heart. So our reading begins with the disciples approaching Jesus with a question. Now, admittedly, it isn't all that unusual for the disciples to be asking Jesus questions. He's the great teacher, so why shouldn't we bring all our questions to him? And so their question, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" They say that there's no such thing as a dumb question, but in this case, I can only imagine Jesus standing there blinking a few times and staring at them after hearing that. We're still on that? After everything that's happened recently, how could they be worried about that? They want the answer to be one of them as being the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, of course. They've been arguing about which one of them is the most important for almost as long as they've been following Jesus. But that means they're missing the point. How short-sighted is this question? For all, Jesus just got done proving himself to be the Son of God over and over. In Matthew chapter 16, our gospel reading from 2 weeks ago, Jesus had asked them who they say he is, and Peter had responded, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Most High God." But then, in chapter 17, the temple tax collectors had demanded the 2-drachma tax from Jesus, the tax that all Jewish males have to pay, and Jesus had told Peter to go fishing, and the coins had been in the fish's mouth. How impressive is that? That sounds powerful, like the kind of Messiah that we'd want to follow. But before getting too excited, listen to Jesus' description immediately before our gospel reading today of what it means for him to be the Son of God. In chapter 17, verses 22 and 23, as they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to the disciples, "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." Earlier in chapter 16, our gospel reading from last week, Jesus said exactly the same thing, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And then Jesus had said what it means to be great in the kingdom of heaven, verses 24, 25. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Does that sound like greatness as we define it? Jesus is saying over and over that he is going to die. His whole mission on earth is to lay down his life, to die, be killed by sinful men. Does that sound like the kind of earthly ruler who will be passing out favors and rewards to his followers? Not in the least. Jesus has warned them several times they will be hated and persecuted. They will bear their cross and follow him. That is what it means to be his disciple. There is no greatness to be had, or at least not the kind of greatness that the disciples had in mind. If anyone would be great, it would have been John the Baptist. But what did Jesus say about him in Matthew chapter 11? He said, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That is Jesus' conception of greatness in the kingdom of heaven. His idea of what it means to be great, the truth of what it means to be great, is not the same as what the disciples expect it to be. So all of this begs the question then, why? Why is this idea of greatness so important to us as humans? I think it comes down to a matter of self-importance. I want to show myself to be someone, to be special. We want people to look at us as being great, as being important, as being worthy. We want the attention that comes from other people acknowledging us for ourselves, which leads us to ignoring or discounting those things that we perceive as lesser. But Jesus' response to the disciples and to us as well puts our short-sightedness on display and turns our expectations on their head. In verses 2 through 4, Jesus answers, calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What is greatness? According to Jesus, it is not the rich and famous and powerful who are great in the kingdom of heaven. Instead, it is this little child who is great, those who came up here for the children's message. It is faith, like that of a child, that receives Jesus, in which Jesus promises to bless, not the great, the humble and trusting. How incredible that is, almost unheard of. In our society, in most human societies, children are dismissed as unready or unprepared or as not quite worthy to be heard and listened to. We love children, of course, but so many people that they should be quiet and learn and not make trouble. But how does Jesus treat these children? Instead of passing them over, ignoring them when the disciples turn them away, instead, Jesus welcomes them. He wants them to come forward. He blesses them. He holds them up as a model of proper faith. So Jesus tells the disciples and us through them that we must receive him in the way that a child does, trusting implicitly in all of God's promises, loving him unconditionally the way that a child loves their parents. Believe and take him at his word, at his promises to us. After all of God's promises are true. They are yours through faith. Not only that, but Jesus goes even further in saying that those who receive one such child in his name are also receiving him. Not only is it important for Jesus to receive the trust of a child, but children themselves are valuable and important to Jesus. Children are created by God. Even in your mother's womb, God already knew you, knit you together to be who you are. Children are used by Jesus for a special purpose. Look no further than John the Baptist, who leapt in his mother's womb at the approach of Jesus. The first announcement of the unborn Messiah was an unborn child. Jesus loves little children just as much as he loves anyone else, because they also need to learn about him, to trust him more fully, to learn what it truly means to be Jesus' children, his disciples. And how is it that they learn? They learn from us. In worship services, you learn everything that you have comes from God, and that we thank and worship him for what he has already done for us. In Sunday school, in confirmation classes, you learn the truth about Jesus, what he has done for us, and why, because he loved us so much. By serving in church, you learn to return to God more than just words of thanksgiving and praise, but also to give back to him by using your time and the abilities that he has given you. That is why it is so important for us to be actively involved in serving God. But even more, children also learn about Jesus from their family, from their parents especially. Show your children how much Jesus loves them. When you forgive their sins, you also show your children God's forgiveness. When you pray and read the Bible together at home, you are modeling the Christian life. What a joy it is for us as a congregation to have so many opportunities to share the love of Jesus with all people, both young and old. What a privilege it is for us to help in forming the faith of these children who have been entrusted to us. What an awesome responsibility it is to guide and model the faith for those who are still learning and growing. But then, that is all of us. After all, we are all like children when it comes to the faith. All of us have something to learn, some area to grow. All of us need guidance and encouragement. All of us need to grow, to feed and nurture our faith through regular devotion and study of Scripture, whatever form it might take. Whether, like the Sunday school children and confirmands, it is reading and studying the Bible and catechism, memorizing Bible verses, and learning spiritually uplifting songs, whether it's in the form of guided Bible study with myself or Deacon Don or Pastor Hugerhide, we all, in some way, come to God as little children, seeking to learn and trusting in God to give. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.